Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
Good morning. The New Testament lessons for today are from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, and Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Today's scripture describes the saving grace of the Lord Jesus, which he freely bestows on all those who believe in him. A reading from Romans chapter 10, beginning with the 9th verse. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Continuing in Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not a work of your own doing, it is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May God add his blessings to these readings of his holy word.
When I was in middle school, I started to really learn about who God was. God wasn't what I thought he was at first, which was this person thing in the sky that looked down on me and was like, really, you're going to do that? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. That's who I thought God was, just separate and judgmental. I started to discover that God was the opposite, a present God, full of love, who wanted me to know him personally. So one night after youth group, things clicked for me. I still had questions. I still had some doubts. I was still seeking out answers. But overall, I got to the point where I recognized that I really loved God and I wanted to respond to the love that he had shown me through Jesus. And I was wrestling with this on the ride home. Have I really given my faith to Jesus? Have I placed my faith in Jesus? And so I told my mom about this on the car ride home from youth group when I was in middle school, and she smiled at me and said, Craig, you don't have to worry about that anymore. And so when we got home, it was a beautiful starry night. We walked to the top of the driveway, can still remember it like it was yesterday, and she held me in her arms and prayed over me. And in that prayer, she gave me a chance to respond to the invitation that Jesus gives all of us, where I believe that he died and rose again for me and the forgiveness of my sins. And I had an opportunity to confess Jesus as Lord, which basically means, Jesus, take the wheel. I'm no longer driving, God, your will, not mine. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So even with all of the mistakes that I had made in my life, which the Bible calls sin, which separates us from a perfect God, I realized that by putting my faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross for me, all of my mistakes were washed away, and I was completely forgiven. And this is something that I didn't earn. It's something I didn't work for. It was a gift. And those are the words that we find in the second passage that Owen read so beautifully, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, which says this. It's by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one may boast. So that night as a middle schooler with my mom was a chance for me to respond to what Jesus had done for me. And that's the beautiful thing about confirmation. It's a chance for our 21 students this year to receive the good news of Jesus and have an opportunity to respond. Over the past 4 months, 21 students have explored who God really is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And some have come to class already following Jesus, and some are still working out their faith in what they believe. However, wherever our students are in their journey, it is worth celebrating. And why is it worth celebrating? Because regardless of where students are at, seeds of faith have been planted. And we look forward to seeing those seeds of faith grow in the years to come. So for our confirmation students, I want you to remember that confirmation is just the beginning. This is a milestone. This isn't the finish line. And so because of that, we know and believe that God has so much more in store for you, and we're excited to join you in that journey. And my challenge for you students is two simple words: keep watering. Keep watering. Like I mentioned earlier, seeds of faith have been given to you, and you get the opportunity to tend to those seeds of faith. And you can do that in different ways. Personally with God, you can pray. You can have a conversation, a dialogue with God, seeking his presence in prayer, asking him for help, inviting him into your day, and seeing how he shows up in your life and listening for his response. You can read scripture. I learned from Owen's testimony that he's been reading over 1,000 pages of scripture since he started confirmation. He can't get enough of God's word. That's amazing. I'm not like that. That's really impressive. But whatever that looks like for you, open up the Bible with yourself, a friend. Explore what God's word has to say about you and about the promises that God has for all of us. And then the last thing you can do to keep watering those seeds of faith is to stay connected. Stay connected with the people around you that you've gone through this journey in. Keep coming to church. Check out small groups on Wednesday nights if you don't go already. Stay in touch with your mentor that you've been paired with, or just continue to stay in connection with people that will be guiding you back to Jesus. Keep watering those seeds of faith, and you will be amazed to see the fruit that comes out of that experience. And students, if you haven't taken that step of faith to fully give your life to Jesus, like I described that my mom offered to me, don't wait. Like our passage encourages, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, and you too will experience that saving grace, being fully forgiven and given new life now and in the life to come. Students and congregation, God is with you, God loves you, and he wants to walk with you from this day forward. So I'm pleased to share that no longer are you going to be hearing from me or the leaders. You're going to get to hear from students themselves, their experience receiving the goodness of God, responding to that goodness, and even getting to share it with you now. So I'd like to invite up our first testimony giver, Hayden Fazzino, to come forward now. Let's give her a warm welcome.
If you were to ask me 6 months ago what my biggest comfort in life was, I would answer with being in my room by myself. I felt as though that was the only place where no one would judge me and that everyone, myself, would accept me as I was. However, I feel that my answer is not the same as I stand here today. Hello, my name is Hayden Fazzino. I'm newly 14 and I'm an eighth grader at Turner River Middle School. Growing up, my family would attend the occasional Sunday Mass, but not regularly. I would sit in the service, but I wasn't completely present. I would pick at the scratchy dress that my mother had to fight with me to put on. I would groan until the service was complete. When I became the age where it was time to start attending class on Sundays instead of the regular Mass, it was then I learned who God and Jesus were. We would do little crafts, and me being myself, I would try to outshine everyone like it was a competition. I had fun at those classes, but when I was finishing first grade, we moved to a different part of Stanford. Going that far to church became an inconvenience for my family's busy schedule, so we stopped. Fast forward to November of 2021, I am a fifth grader and finally trying to grow up. However, a roadblock came and stopped that advancement immediately. My mother, Kelly, suffered from a brain aneurysm that resulted in her passing. Even years later, I can still replay that night in my head. I remember being home alone with her. I remember being confused when she suddenly collapsed on the floor. I remember flashing lights pulling into the driveway. I remember sobbing into my father's arms. I remember praying for an hour, desperately asking God to let my mom watch me grow up. I remember my father's hand shaking on my knee as he told me my mother was gone. Life had slammed on its brakes, and I didn't know how to start moving again. At her funeral Mass, I sat in the front pew with my family. In a place where I should be close to God, I was angry and bitter with him. How could he have so much love for me and still put my family and myself through this indescribable pain? I felt incredibly abandoned. I was surrounded with people that loved me, but I had convinced myself that I was alone. I thought that God had forgotten about me and no longer felt the need to look after me. The next time I thought about my faith was 3 years later this past November. Those 3 years were filled with grief, but also included fleeting moments of happiness. Even though I wasn't acknowledging God in my life, I know that he was still with me and was the reason I was able to make it through. He had a plan for me, and I discovered that when I was introduced to Stanwich. My friend and neighbor, Kate, informed me of this church she attended regularly. She told me it was different. The services were inviting and the people were nice. I agreed to attend a Sunday service. As I looked out the window, I felt a nervous pit in my stomach. I was nervous that people would give me strange looks with their heads turned sideways. I was nervous I wouldn't know as much as the other students. But above all, I was nervous that God would be angry with me for being so distant with him. Why would he accept me after I neglected him for so long? I don't remember that first Sunday much. I can recall being attached to Kate's hip and not uttering a word during class. I didn't think I belonged. But I do remember one thing that changed after that service, music. I was completely entranced by the music played, and I started listening to worship music. It gave me hope that there was more to come. However, I was still too scared to attend class again. February came, and Kate's mom asked my dad if I wanted to attend confirmation classes. He relayed the message to me, and I reluctantly agreed. I didn't know what being confirmed meant, but I knew it was something important to do. I tried telling myself that this was it. This is how I could finally learn how to trust in God. But no matter how many times I repeated that in my head, I still didn't believe myself. Yet again, I found myself staring out that window with that familiar pit in my stomach. As I walked in, I took a deep breath and told myself to keep an open mind. That first class was completely introductory material, but it was a moment that everything changed for me. The music playing as we entered immediately soothed me. As we walked down the stairs, I was nervous that it would be the same as last time. I sat on the couch and was introduced to Craig, Charlotte, and Jeff. Each one greeted me with a warm smile like I had been attending Stanwich my whole life. The class flew by and we were heading up the stairs. I couldn't stop smiling. It is impossible to pinpoint what changed that day, but I knew there was an irreversible shift that had taken place. Things were going to change. Being a part of this community for the past few months has been one of the most enjoyable experiences. I've met some remarkable people, and I'm so thrilled to continue to connect with more of you. I've learned that my sins do not define me and that I'm unconditionally loved. He is a just and merciful God who has brought me out of one of the darkest points of my life. I'm so thankful. For my life verse, I have selected Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. This verse stuck to me because it put everything in a different light for me. God has taken me out of that dark place to which I thought there was no end to, and has shown me how beautiful life can be through his love. It gives me an overwhelming sense of comfort and hope. These hardships that anyone may be facing are going to end. There is so much in store for us. I would be a liar if I said there weren't times I was full of grief and pain. Some days are harder than others, and that's okay. I miss my mom terribly some days, and all I wish is that she was here. But I know she's looking over me with love. My mother was the most perfect gift from God, and I'm so grateful she was able to stay with me as long as she could. Going back to the beginning, I have a different answer to the original question posed. Question and answer number one of the Heidelberg Catechism states, my only comfort in life and death is that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. I completely agree with this. The Lord has gifted me a new sense of security and certainty in life. He met me in my brokenness, wrapped me in his peace, and has reminded me that I'm never alone. I'm so grateful for him saving me and showing me his bright light. I know that I have a long way to go with my journey in the Lord. However, I've been happier than ever since welcoming him into my life, and I'm so excited to see what he has in store for me. And today, I stand here not to just be confirmed in my faith, but to give thanks to a God who heals, restores, and never lets go. Thank you.
Walk with the Lord today and be a blessing to someone. I keep these words in my heart each day. My mom has told me this as I leave for school since I was little. When I was younger, I thought it meant to just be nice each day. But now I understand she wants me to remember that the Holy Spirit is with me all day long and that I should show love and care to others just as Jesus does for us. My name is Kate Pelletier, and I'm an eighth grader at Turnip River Middle School in Stanford. I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember. I believe Jesus is my healer and comforter. We all know life isn't always easy, and we go through times of pain, sadness, and fear. But Jesus is always there, healing what is broken and giving us peace. When I pray, he listens, and when I'm hurt, he holds me close. Even when I'm confused and don't understand why things happen, I trust that He is working for my good. Because of my faith in Jesus, I don't have to feel afraid or lonely. I don't have to worry about the future or deal with stress alone. He has given me the greatest gift of all, which is that I belong body, mind, and soul to Him. His love is deeper and stronger than I could ever imagine. He knows everything about me and still loves me. You might think, how do you know He loves you so much? That's because God sent His only Son, Jesus, to die for my sins so that I could have a connection with Him forever. God created me in His image, so nothing I could do could ever make Him love me less. No matter what happens, He will always love me. He blesses me in so many ways, and of course I have friends, family, and life, but He also blesses me with faith, hope, and promises from Him. I know He has a plan for me that is bigger than I can understand, and I believe it starts with living according to His will every day. Jesus wants us to love one another as He has loved us, and for me, that includes at school. I go to school with a very diverse group of students. Some students are brand new to the United States and don't speak English or have many friends. They may look different or sound different than me, but I know we are all one in Christ. This idea drew me to my life verse, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Jesus, even at Turnip River Middle School. I know that Jesus wants to love our neighbors as ourselves. Being in this community gives me a chance to shine my light each day, not only by talking about God or my faith, but by just smiling and being kind or helpful to my peers and teachers in need. It can be simple, like including someone who's sitting alone or giving someone a smile in the hallway. I remember sitting in class laughing with students I didn't usually talk to. What were we laughing about? I don't even remember. All I know is that I was talking to someone I hadn't connected with before. Someone whose differences once seemed like barriers. I realized those differences don't mean anything, because God loves us all equally. Jesus calls us to love one another, and sometimes that starts with something as simple as sharing a laugh. These small moments of connecting with someone new, listening instead of judging, putting myself out there instead of staying in my comfort zone, have all helped me grow, and I know that is work that Jesus is doing in me. I started to realize that showing love isn't just for the people I'm close to. It's something we are all called to show everyone, even classmates I barely talk to. When I do those things, God's love is working through me, and I remember my mom's words, "Walk with the Lord today and be a blessing to someone." I've learned that being one in Christ doesn't mean we all have to be the same, but it does mean that our differences shouldn't divide us, as they give us more ways to understand and love each other. I've learned that my job isn't to fix anyone or to change who they are, it's to walk alongside them with care. I want to carry this lesson into high school and beyond. I want to be someone who brings people together, who listens, who cares, and who stands up for others. I want to live in a way that shows others who Jesus is, not just through my words, but through my actions, how I treat everyone I meet, remembering that we are all equally valuable, equally loved, and equally called to love one another. So whether I'm sitting in class, talking with my friends, meeting someone new, or just walking through the hallways, I want to be someone who reflects God's love, because at the end of the day, it's not about who we think we are, it's about who we belong to. Thank you.
We're working out the logistics here. I'm Jeff Kohlberger. I had the honor of being Manu's mentor this year, and it was really fun. He's a great kid. He's such a great kid that he lost his voice on a school trip to D.C. this year, and that's why he can't talk. It's all right. It's good. It means you enjoyed yourself, right? But what's really cool about that is I get to have another honor, which is speaking for Manu. So thank you so much, buddy. I really appreciate it. It's a... I'm not going to choke up before we even start. All right. My name is Manuel Salins. I'm an eighth grader at Eastern Middle School, and my life verse is Matthew 6:34. It reads, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble." The reason this verse stood out to me was because when I entered middle school, I wanted to perform. I had and have always been a very competitive kid, so receiving bad scores in school was not an option. This pressure I put on myself then created anxiety. Worrying about the next day was custom for me, as was losing sleep. This worsened, especially before math tests. When I came closer to God, that all changed. When I was younger, in fourth or fifth grade, I went to church simply to go through the motions and get home so I could play with my friends. It was never really about God. To be totally honest, I never liked going to church at that age. This continued until recently, towards the end of sixth grade. This is when I started attending small groups, a weekly youth group on Wednesday nights at the church for students grades 6 to 12. Normally, I would just play with friends until the sermon, and then try to talk to my friend Will, who was actually trying to pay attention. What a lame-o. I eventually followed his lead and started listening. And as I did, I began to find both questions and answers. First, there are questions that came up. I sometimes doubted God's existence. After all, how could God be all-knowing and all-powerful and still forgive? Why does it seem like God and science go against each other? Why did he make imperfect and sinful beings like humans? Even though I still have some questions, I know I have some answers and truths from Scripture that greatly impacted how I view the world and myself. I now understand that God is a perfect being that never intended for sin to enter our lives. He sent his son Jesus to come and die, sinless, for our sins. I now understand God created me for a purpose, whatever that must be. Seventh grade was when my relationship with God picked up. This is because I attended Winter Weekend for the first time. Winter Weekend is an event for boys and girls from 6th to 12th grade and their friends. That year in 2024, we had rented four houses to stay at, and I arrived in the middle school boys' house late Friday night. We had time to call beds and play a little pool, and then we headed to the main house for a sermon and dinner. When we gathered together to begin our evening session and pray together, I remembered that having so many people praying in the same room, listening to one speaker, touched me. Later, we went on to learn about Saul, a person in the Bible that went from persecuting Christians to finding new life through Jesus as the Apostle Paul. On that final night of the weekend, we were given the opportunity to go up to one of the volunteer leaders and receive prayer after the sermon. Praying with the leaders touched me in a significant way, and something happened during that time that made my faith in God secure. Winter Weekend the next year was just as it had been before, just with a lot more younger kids. We spent this year learning about Peter, God's beloved disciple. Learning about how Peter felt he had failed God, even though he was one of his most trusted disciples, told me that nobody's perfect, and I don't need to beat myself up for times where I mess up, because God's grace and love for me are greater than my greatest mistakes. Craig specifically talked about how Peter's love and faithfulness he had for God could never match the love and faithfulness God had for him. Peter is described as loving God like a brother, with the Greek word phileo. But Jesus, even though Peter denied him three times in a row, loved Peter with a perfect sacrificial love that was even greater, shown with the Greek word agape. This meant that even in Peter's failure, God's love for him remained greater and was unconditional. This was greatly comforting to me, and I became more confident in my relationship with God, who had a love for me that was always greater than my worst moments. My current position in faith is total belief that God is real, and that he has a plan for me. Wherever I end up, he will be there, and it will all be part of his plan. My new confidence in my relationship with God has greatly affected my life, and I am very grateful to all those who contributed. A few people I want to give a shout out to now is my confirmation mentor, Jeff, my family, and the leaders of the student ministry. Thank you for listening.
If there's one thing that's the most challenging for me, it's talking to people. Hi, my name is Julianne Kohlberger, and I'm 14 years old. My life verse is Psalm 118:17. I will not die but live and proclaim what the Lord has done. I grew up going to church with my family every Sunday. I went out all the way from the nursery to the youth group. Whenever I listened to people at church, I listened with a kind of numb acceptance, never really wondering what it meant for my life outside of church. Sure, I had to follow the commandments and whatnot, but other than that, I never really took anything out of church. I just sat there, absorbing information as if it were a lesson at school, waiting for coffee hour. I mean, what can I say? Those donuts are pretty good. Over the span of middle school, I've been trying to bend God's rules to make whatever I was doing sound fine. For example, if I wanted to eat some candy while my parents weren't around, I would say, I know God says to honor your parents, but I mean, when my mom left the house, she never explicitly said not to eat the candy. So I guess it's fine. I now realize that these are unhealthy thoughts for me and the people around me. It's easy to hear God's teachings and then ignore them or cut corners to do things our own way. This left me asking, what was the point of learning his word anyway if I can't do it right? I didn't know how to apply his teachings to my life at all. As I mentioned earlier, growing up, church was more of a check on the list, a bonus point. But through confirmation, I realized how I can apply my Christian faith to my life. In my life verse, it says that I will proclaim what the Lord has done. So that was why I needed to learn about what God has done. That was what all of those years sitting in the pews or downstairs with the youth group or in the kids' wing, that was what that was all for. The whole reason that I was put here was to first receive life from God and then tell people about him. There are so many people out there who have never heard about God. It's crazy for me to think about it. I could be the reason that people turn to God, experience his love, and eventually go to heaven, the best place to ever exist. Talking to people about God isn't a chore, it's a privilege. I don't have to, I get to. The thing is, I'm really nervous about talking to people. I'm afraid. What if they think I'm annoying? What if they just really don't like me in general? What if they don't want to be seen with someone who isn't popular? What if I'm just an inconvenience to them? These are all questions I ask myself every day. But with confirmation class and my relationship with God has been teaching me is that I can't keep thinking like that. Imagine a doctor who's too shy to ask someone to tell them what their symptoms were. That wouldn't be a very good doctor. It's the same thing with talking to people about God. You have to be brave. You have to go up to them and talk. If you don't, they might never hear about God and be saved. This could be, quite literally, the difference between that person experiencing new life now and forever with a God who loves them so much more than anyone else ever could. Even though I still get nervous talking with people about my faith, I've learned how to rely on God and trust that he is worth the risk. I look forward to trusting God to help me share his promises with others, and I hope this might inspire you to do the same, too. Thank you.
More about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.